NBA Straya. How are you going? How you going? That's right. It is NBA Straya. It's Monday, April 4th, all day. And I'm your host, James Clements. That's right. I'm a writer sometimes who writes for whomstever wants to pay me that sweet, sweet fighting stuff. I'm here in Larry Umber Studios hanging out. I'm in a hoodie today. Got a bit cold, mate. Yeah, anyway, wrapping up all the ins and outs of the NBA season while repping Straya a bit. That's what we do. Tell you what, big weekend. The Lakers, oh geez.
The Lakers stink!
They really do. We've got some MVP tussling. It's all going on. And we've got weekend winners and losers to talk about that. We've also got all the game wraps from the entire weekend. We've got a juicy slabber. That's not a knife. All mate, no mate, spot of the night. Better than Lonzo Ball, dickhead of the weekend. There's Yenars. We're actually a bunch of listener Yenars today, which is awesome. We've got the unpopular opinion of the day. And we've got our back take, yes. We were serving up a flame grill take. There's Australian player watching Andrew Gaze, Grey Mum Award for outstanding achievement in the field of excellence, which is like a three-way tie today. It's crazy. Anyway, we've got the game previews and picks for not tomorrow, because there's no games tomorrow, but for Wednesday, and we'll finish up with a brand new deli review. Oh, yeah. Let's get into it. Episode 788 of NBA Straya. Let's go.
This is Joe Ingles, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack!
Ah, you better, especially if you're Dwight Howard. Shaq, still roasting the Lakers. They've got three Hall of Famers. And then everyone's like listing up, well, they've got LeBron, they've got Russell, they've got Anthony, they've got Carmelo, they've got Dwight. And he's like, they've got four Hall of Famers. Amazing work, Shaq. Dwight just can't get any respect. Yeah. Point out why. Either way, let's start today's show the way we start every show here at NBA Australia with the daily whip around. Usually it's where Jimmy has a bit of a, oh, geez, tell you what, big weekend. And it still was. Went to the footy yesterday. Took the squid to his first footy game, AFL. He loved it. Absolutely loved it. Helped the Carlton got the win. Enjoyed that immensely. It was my mum's first game in a, I think she's ever seen them win, which is chaos. She hasn't been to a game in person in like 13 years. Anyway, right, actual NBA news. My knee's a bit sore. Maybe I shouldn't play so much, I don't know, running around with the squid. I was going to say hoops. I'm like, I didn't shoot any hoops over the weekend. My shoulder's still fucked. Anyway, news, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar dragged LeBron and then apologized. Enjoyed that one. Some of the things he's done and said are really beneath him as far as I can see. Some of the great things he's done, he's standing on both sides of the fence almost, you know? It makes it hard for me to accept that when he's committed himself to a different take on anything. It's hard to figure out where he's standing. You got to check him out every time. There you go. Kareem saying that LeBron's a bit of a flim-flammer. No shit. Hey man, I'm just going to... Gonna start a school. That's great. Oh, I don't know if we should all get vaccinated. Shut up, LeBron. But then Kareem apologized later. Today, a reporter asked me a question about LeBron James, and I regret my offhanded response, which has been blown out of proportion. Oh, yeah? For years, I've expressed my deep admiration and respect for LeBron as a community leader and athlete. That hasn't changed and never will. Well, best mates, man. Best mates. Speaking of which, Mello won the was finally given his award for the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar Social Justice Champion Award. They've got a very nice trophy. They unveiled that, and Carmelo won it last year, 2020-21, and so it's kind of neat. Good on him. Other news, Eric Spoelstra out in the COVID protocols. Bit of a rough one there for Spo, but it did give us the opportunity to see Chris Quinn. Love Chris Quinn. Just a bit of heat culture, man, bit of Chris Quinn. Just out there doing his thing. And looking pretty worried at times, but I'll tell you what, big win today. Other news, the Blazers, they've signed both Drew Eubanks, a.k.a. Drew Banks, and Chrissy Dunn to hardship deals, so they're bang done. And probably the best one over the weekend, I guess, is the news that Ben Simmons, he's filed a grievance to get back his 20 mil. Oh, yeah. The $20 million that was withheld by the Sixers because, you know, he refused to play for them. He's like, nah, man. Nah, I should get that money. It's like, but did you work for it? No, but it's my money. Well, it's not really your money, is it, Ben? Oh, I've got mental health problems. Oh, really? Didn't stop you from going back to Philly when you're in Brooklyn? Interesting stuff, if you ask me.
Interesting stuff.
The other sort of news for Simo was that Woj was out there reporting today. Basically, the idea that Ben Simmons could be ready in 9 days when the play-in starts is not realistic, aka not happening. Brooklyn's going to have to get into the playoffs before there can be any real conversation about Simmons ramping up to return. I've said it before. I said it last week. I don't think he plays. So I think it might be a bit of a stretch to go, hey, Simo, you got a fucked back, mate. We all know it's a bit of Shag's back. We all understand that. But at the same time, what do we not fuck with? Feet and backs. And a back is nothing to be taken lightly. So, because there's always just a chance for a bit of a setback. As you saw with him, as soon as he started ramping up to return for the Nets, boom, off he went. I don't know. Maybe this throws into question his actual sort of approach when he was in Philly. Op, stay ready, man. How ready, Ben? Oh, well, it'll take me a couple of weeks to ramp up before I get back on the court. What are you fucking doing then? Jesus. You've had 8 months of doing nothing. Oh, nah, man. I've got to really ramp up. Oh, God. Anyway, and the last little bit. So that's basically the Simmons sort of wrap. $20 million. I'd like that, please. For what? I don't know. It's in the contract that I get it. Yeah, for doing your job, which you didn't. And of course, I just don't think he plays for the Nets. I just don't know if they bother bringing him back, bringing him in. It just sort of seems like bringing him in the middle of a playoff series, maybe if they make it to the second round, then they throw a spanner out there. But at the same time, you're just throwing a dude out there in the middle of a playoff thing. Last time we saw him, he was busy shitting the bed in a playoff series. So how's your mental health there? Anyway, the last little bit of news, Kyrie, just to stay on the Nets for a second, Ramadan is off, and so Kyrie's going to be fasting for the next month. So great. It's going to be awesome. Hopefully he gets to a higher plane of awesome basketball playing, because he's not been awesome for the last couple of games. So I think Ramadan encompasses, obviously, the end of the regular season, the play-in tournament, and the first round, and even the beginning of the second round. So pretty crazy. Right. Let's do some game wraps. Game wraps. That's right. The game wraps from the weekend, Saturday. Love me some Scoob. Scotty Barnes smashed Orlando, didn't he? He's like, yeah, man. That's why I'm happy to be in Toronto, not in Orlando. 19-8-78. 102 versus 89. Orlando have really figured out the tanking. They're just like, oh, no, nah, we'll just spread everybody's minutes out. And we'll just be equally shit. And we won't win a game. Dallas got absolutely smashed by Washington.
Extreme Zinger meal.
Zinger had his revenge! It's literally what happens to your bunghole after you have a double Zinger burger. It's like, oh, God, everything hurts when I'm trying to take a dump. Supercharged burger, that one.
Supercharged Zinger burger.
135-103, they smashed him. It's crazy. He had 24-9-4 with a couple of steals and a block. The Zinger's revenge. Boston held off a feisty Indy team, 128-123. Halliburton has been playing his ass off. He had 30 in that game. Jalen Brown had 32. He had 32 in the next Boston game too. Houston, that's good tanking. Lost to Sacramento, 122-117. That was hilarious. Phoenix, the 1-versus-2 matchup against the Memphis Grizzlies. Memphis without fucking even Triple J. Without Steven Adams. Without Ja Morant. And they still won. They're unbeatable. 122-114. Unbelievable game. Booker had 41. Dylan Brooks went, ah, it's cool, man. I'll drop 30. And they held him off. This was such a great game. I was watching this one with a squid and enjoying the absolute crap out of it. He's just like, I like the Bears. It's like, all right, buddy. The Suns are good because I like yellow. It's all right, man. Great win by Memphis, though. That was huge. Huge. The Clippers absolutely demolisherated the Milwaukee Bucks. That's right. It wasn't Algonquin for the good land today. 153-119 because Bobby Covington, Lord Robert Covington. That's right. The Clippers had 153. That's a franchise record. This was the most surprising and stunning 43-point game of the year, if not ever. He had 11 made threes. If you've watched Robert Covington play in the last 3-4 years, you'd be sitting there going, that dude scored 43 fucking points and made 11 three? No. Pull the other one. It plays Alex Lloyd's amazing. This was amazing. Bobby Covington, what a goddamn game. Anyway, they smashed him. Detroit, the tank-off game. Detroit basketball versus OKC. The Pistons, they couldn't do it. They couldn't out-tank OKC. 110, they beat the Thunder in OKC 101. Killian Hayes went off. I fucking love Killian Hayes. And now that he's getting some run, hook it to my veins. 26-7-8 for him. Portland and San Antonio played twice on the weekend. San Antonio won both. They won the first one, 130-111. Calvin Johnson went off. DeJounte Murray sitting out these two games with a non-COVID illness. And no worries for the San Antonio Banderas Spurs. Minnesota, a battle of the big men. Cat versus Joker, 136. The Wolves beat the Denver Nuggets in Denver, 130. Joker had 38-19-8. This was a chaos game. I loved it. Ant-Man just doing work. New Orleans, and then the hugest game of the day. This was amazing. Anthony Davis against his old mates there in New Orleans. Half the Pelicans team used to be on the Lakers. LeBron came back. AD's at 38-8-4 for LeBron. Spindles Ingram, 29-8-7. CJ drops 32. And the Pelicans get a huge fucking win. God, it was good. I'm not going to say that I reveled in every second moment of Lakers like misery, but I did. They're going to pop up again a lot. I'm just saying. But AD comes back. They've got LeBron. Didn't matter. Pelicans just crushed him. Well, not crushed him, but they held him off down the stretch, and it was just a nice little rally. Like, My Name is Jonas was absolutely smishing it. Oh, God, it was good. LeBron missed a three, and boom. Just no good. Right there at the end. Just, tough scenes. 23-12-6 for Davis in his return, though. It's kind of nice to see him out there, and then he hurt his foot in the next game. But anyway, New Orleans, that was a big double win. We'll talk about that in a second. Charlotte, on Sunday, they got smasherated by Philly, 144-114. Embiid had 29-14-6 in like 23 minutes. It was crazy. Cleveland! Smashed New York, 119-101. Darius Rucker, Judy Garland at 24-13. Obi Toppin, ain't no stopping. Obi Toppin at 24-4. I love him. Brooklyn, oh no. Kevin Durant had 55! Oh, well, how much they win by, Jim? Oh, not much, mate, because they didn't. They lost in Atlanta, 122-115, because Trae Young had 36 points, 6 rebounds, 10 assists, and nobody else on the Nets could hit a fucking shot. Poor KD, what a waste. Miami, they took care of Chicago, 127-109. Butts versus the old team, bang, 22-76 for him. And then, of course, it's like the last game on each day was absolutely fucking chaos over the weekend, apart from today. Utah lost in Golden State, 111-107. Oh, Jimmy, that's not too great. Well, Utah were up 21 at one point of this game. And then they gave up an 18-zip run in the fourth quarter and lost it. And Utah fans everywhere lost their fucking minds, just rocking back and forth. Oh, no, oh, no, oh, no. We're going to talk about the Jazz a bit later, too. Monday today, we had Boston absolutely back-to-back smashings. Kicked the shit, well, they didn't smash Indy, but they never really stressed. 144-102 over the Wizards. 32 for Jaylen Brown again, as mentioned. Dallas beat Milwaukee, 118-112. Amazing. Luka, 32-8-15 assists. What a game. Denver. Lakers.
The Lakers stink.
They do. 129-118. Joker dominated. 38-18-6. AD was really good in the first half. 28-9-8, but then hurt his foot at some point. It's like, yeah. This motherfucker just can't stay healthy. What happens? It's Anthony Davis. Have you ever watched him? Anyway, Indy. Talk about another big tank game. Detroit went out and beat Indy 121-117 because Big Dick Bay hit 6 threes in the first quarter. Ended up with 31 points. Halliburton had 19 points, 17 assists and 9 rebounds. He had 0 turnovers. That's fucking incredible. Philly, they eked out a big win in Cleveland. 112-108. Cleveland on a back-to-back and beat at 44. Went to the line 20 times. The Cavs hated the refs, but it was Matty T. Aussie Matty T. Matisse Thybulle at the end with a game-sealing steal and the pass to Tobias Harris for the dunk and the win. Incredible fucking scenes there in Cleveland. The Knicks smashed Orlando, 118-88. Oh, That's just some good tanking by the Magic. They let Emmanuel quickly get his first career triple-double. He had 20, 10, and 10. Unbelievable. Toronto, welcome back, Kyle Lowry, and lost to Miami, 114-109. Crazy game. He got smoking hot in the second half from three. No buts, no hassles. Strus had 7 threes. Victor Oladipo turned back the clock. He had 6 and 9. Nice from three. He had 21 points off the bench. He was awesome. Tyler Hero just right up in the fucking grill of all the Toronto fans. Loved it. Wouldn't mind a bit of a series of those guys. Mini kicked the crap out of Houston, 139-132. Ant-Man had 33. Jalen Green had 31. Not much defense played in that one, bruh. Phoenix, they lost to OKC. What? That's right, OKC, because Poku had a triple-double. What? The Slim Reaper had 17, 10, and 12. He's the Slim Reaper. Kevin Durant doesn't want to be known as the Slim Reaper. That's his own fucking fault. The Slim Reaper is now Poku. Cam Johnson came back, but no Booker, no Ayton, no Crowder for Phoenix, and they got smoked in OKC. Amazing. 117-96. Portland got belted by San Antonio, 113-92. Golden State kicked the shit out of Sacramento, 109-90. This was gross. Sacramento just packed her up. They were like down. They scored like 14 points in the first quarter. They're down 20 at the half. Without Clay or Otto Porter playing for the Warriors. No, Steph, obviously. Draymond was out there bitching and moaning and fouling out eventually, but Jesus, Sacramento, have some respect. And finally, the Pels got belted by the Clippers, 119-100. Huge win for the Clips. Locks away the 8 seed, I believe. And their back-to-back games having 30 or more assists. Unbelievable. Let's go weekend winners and losers then.
Oh, my God. I won! Ah! Recapping our day's top story, the winner of today's state lottery is...
Me. Kent Brockman. Yeah, I got a picture of me. There you go. Yep, there you go. Clippers. Big weekend. That's huge. They smashed the Bucks, rung up 153 on them. Then took care of the Pelicans, who were coming at them hard. Specifically, obviously, in the standings as well. The Pels are out there still trying to like make sure that they lock in at least the 9 spot. But boom, with that win, the Clippers get the 8 seed in the play and give themselves, you know, what, 2 chances at making the playoffs, win one of those 2 games they're in. And off they went. Paul George out there causing... Like, Reggie Jackson sucked and they still won. It's like one of these things where the Clippers now... with Paul George back and actually withstand one of those horrible games from their dudes. And also, with what, WrestleMania was on this weekend, the Clippers are now giving out the championship belt. So Covington drops, what, 43? Absolutely insane game. He got the belt, and then Mook Morris got it today. Unbelievable. Love that. Love a good belt. The Warriors! What a weekend for them. Huge comeback win over the Jazz. And they take care of the Kings on a back-to-back, which is a classic letdown game as well, right? You got a huge emotional comeback. You smash a really good conference foe. Then you go down the road and play Sacramento, and you shit the bet. Not! Got a bit of swag back. So that win over the Jazz meant they've clinched a playoff spot, gets them back into the 3 seed, and means they've got the tiebreaker over the Jazz. So the Jazz, it's a soft J. They also went from 16 down to just 4 in 80 seconds against the Jazz. So it's one of those moments where they ripped off an absolute signature win, ran off that 18-zip run in that game against the Jazz, which is incredible, and rode that basically into the Kings game. And this is without even, like, really, you know, I mean, obviously Clay didn't even play today, but it's not like one of those games where you get, like, Jordan Poole going off for 38 and you're like, oh, shit, off we go. No, it was like everybody else. Belly Belita dropping in 19, 12, and 6. You had Kuminga dropping 17, 25 for Andrew Wiggins. It's his best game since the All-Star break, basically. Love it. Absolutely loved it. So that was a big weekend for the Warriors. I'll tell you that much. Miami, speaking of swag, they're good. Oh, geez. Number one seed by 2 games. Now, they've won. As soon as they got peace signed by Andre Drummond on the Nets went in a tailspin, and the Heat won 4 games straight. So... make of that what you will. But in an emotional big game in Toronto, they stepped up massive and hit those, hitting all those threes. Strus just turning into a fucking flamethrower was pretty handy. But Victor Oladipo just showing signs of life. That's a weekend win for the Heat, isn't it? God damn, that was fun. But look, seriously, that's 2 really big wins. That's a big win over Toronto. And on Sunday, like them just really taking care of Chicago. You're like, oh, God. The Heat are back into a groove. They were out of a groove. Now they're in one. Jesus. Speaking of which, Kyle Lowry, big booted Kyle Lowry. It was Kyle Lowry Day in Toronto. they officially proclaimed today as Kyle Lowry Day. And there was like a statue going of Big Booty Kyle Lowry going around Toronto. Love that. They had a really nice video and everything. And it was kind of neat. Like Kyle Lowry's very clearly dealt with some pretty, not great stuff this year. Like out of, the lineup for personal reasons or whatever. It's never going to be good. So hopefully, he and Miami are feeling pretty good, but it's just a nice moment because this is his first time back up to Toronto because he's missed those games. So good stuff. Loved it. The Pelicans, look, they split their games on the weekend. They got belted by the Clippers today, obviously. But I'll tell you what, getting that massive win on the Lakers meant that they were automatic a weekend winner because that's a 2-for-1 where they knocked the Lakers down. Another one, they add a win to theirs, add a loss to the Lakers, basically just clinch it from them. And made every Laker hater in the universe just a little bit happier. I'm not saying I'm a Laker hater. I'm just saying I don't like them that much. You know? that was great, though. What a fun team the Pelicans are sometimes. They weren't fun today against the Clippers, but goddamn, that was a good one. So that's a big weekend for them. Speaking of which, the same with the Mavs. They got smoked by the Wiz, but shit, the way they came back today against Milwaukee, went toe-to-toe with the Bucks on the road, get a huge win. They needed it desperately too. Luka just threw his hog out on the table and went, oh yeah, Giannis is MVP, you reckon? Yeah, take a look at this one. It was great. What a game. He's going to pop up again later as well. But the Mavs, look, they needed that just to keep those 3-seed chances alive, right? Because they're right there still. And they're only basically one game back of the Warriors. So they can rip off a couple, off they go. Memphis. God damn the Grizz. They just won't die. They just won't do it. They beat the Suns 122-114. Absolutely crazy. They've won seven on the... They don't have, like, their best player, and they've won seven straight. It's incredible. Absolutely incredible. Seriously, they didn't have, what, Triple J? They didn't have Desmond Bane. They didn't have Steven Adams. They didn't even have Tyus Jones. And they beat the Suns. Fucking believable. They snapped the 8-game, road winning streak, I think, by the Suns in that one too. Unbelievable, Grizz. I love him. Ife Lundberg is the first Dane to play in the NBA. Dave Anderson was Australian, also Danish, but played for the Australian national team, obviously, for many, many years. Big Dave Anderson, friend of the show. But Ife Lundberg, so that's kind of nice. Houston! I know I said I don't care about them for the rest of the season, but I'll tell you what. A, they're doing a great job of tanking. B, they're rookies. Don't look now, but they're pretty good. I mean, this is, dog days of NBA, end of the season, tank off. No one's playing defense against Houston, but Jalen Green has been awesome. So is Josh Christopher, so is Şengün. That's a good draft for Houston. They're just going to sit there and go, well, I think we've done okay. You know, as long as we do all right in the draft this year, off we go. But yeah, Jalen Green, he's going to pop up again in a second. Boston, big weekend. Smack the shit out of Washington. Did they wear black because they'll go to a funeral? Remember that, when the Wizards did that? Hey, man, we're wearing black because we go to the Celtics funeral. How'd that work out, was it? Yeah, not great. But they got that win over the top of Indy. But Boston, they're just playing well again. They lose Time Lord. A couple of adjustments to make. Grant Williams is out there still talking shit. But big win today over Washington. And, taking care of Indy, just doing enough. I'll tell you what, they're doing it because Jalen Brown, he's a weekend winner, smashing it. Career high 9th straight game over 25 points at 32. He had 32 the other day. He was a plus 36 today. He's ripping it. I love it. And you're sort of waiting for this as well because Tatum has gotten sort of all the accolades all the way through the season. Oh, look at Jason Tatum. He's been amazing. He has been. And he ripped off like a great run post-All-Star. And just quietly, Jalen Branch has been doing work. I love it. The Sixers are weekend winners. They fucking belted Charlotte and took care of business against the Cavs. And they're just taking care of it because they need to. Because, look, Embiid, he's still one of those ones. You look at the fourth quarter, it's like, oh, we'll just keep throwing him the ball. Harden was pretty good as well. Has his, second triple-double as a sixer. You're happy about this. But Embiid, he's just unstoppable late in some of these games. So it's just one of those alleviation of the fears a little bit about the Sixers. But at the same time, you're playing Charlotte and the Cavs. We'll talk about it again then later. But in terms of the weekend winners, the top of the East, we are winners. Because just think about this, the end of the season, the top of the East, at the moment we've got the 48-30 Sixers and Bucks in 3-4. A game up on them are the 49, half game up on them are the 49-30 Celtics, and then Miami, two games up at 51-28. And then in the bottom of the East, Brooklyn and Charlotte are tied in 9-10 at 40-38. A game up on them are the Hawks. The Cavs are only a game and a half up on the Hawks at 45-36. And the Raps and Bulls are tied at 45-33. That's it. Then you're in the middle of the West. The Warriors, a game up on Dallas in 3-4. Nuggets, two games back there in 5. They're a half game up on the Jazz, who are only 1.5 games up on the Wolves. This is chaos. So that means we're weekend winners because the end of the season, we've got play-in seeding. We've got playoff seeding. We've got MVP races coming out the fucking wazoo. We've got the scoring title coming down to the wire. I love it because LeBron, he needs a couple more games to actually hit the threshold for the scoring title. He sits out today. Meanwhile, you've got Embiid just behind him. Embiid's on 30.2 points a game. Giannis is on 30.08. LeBron's on 30.27. He's still got to play two more games, though. I love it. This is a great time of year. The play-in tournament's incredible. It's just giving us, like, an extra kick in the pants. I mean, just think about, like, a few years back. You'd have, like, 8 to 10 teams tanking now. At this point, you've got, like, 3 or 4, basically, really just packing up. So, I love it.
What about weekend losers, though, Jimmy?
We're not losers.
No, you two are winners. Big winners. When I grow up, I want to marry a big winner like you guys.
Shut up.
Losers.
Losers.
Ah, the Bucks. That was a rough weekend, wasn't it? They got absolutely obliterated by the Clips. And then dropped a really tight one of the Mavs. And it was a really good chance for them to get right back up into the top of the East in the 2 seed. And they just didn't quite have it against the Mavs. Look, these games are sort of inevitable. It's one of those ones where Mitty has a rough shooting night and you're just sort of like, we nearly beat them, but we didn't. And Dallas just played their asses off. They really did. They went, they hit like 16 threes. And meanwhile, the Bucks just couldn't really buy much. Like, I think it was basically Bobby Portis hitting a couple of threes, Grayson Allen and Jrue Holiday and just nothing else. So, tough scenes there, but look, they'll be right. Giannis, though, feels like that might have been a bit of a weekend loser. So he has, 28-10, and it's like, oh, geez, I don't know if that's MVP. It's like, fucking hell, what else has he got to do? Well, Luka had 32-8-15. So I don't know if that's going to cost him the MVP. But meanwhile, Joker is torching motherfuckers. And the craziest part is Joker, because his team, even absolutely obliterated by injury like it is, could still have as many wins as Giannis and Embiid, which is incredible to me. Especially in the West. Like, holy shit. But Giannis felt like a bit of a weekend loser because he was building such a head of steam for this MVP. And then if he dismantles the Mavs, they've got a couple of other two really big high-profile games. They play the Bulls and they play the Celtics. If Giannis crushes it then, he might win the MVP again, which would be incredible. This one was a bit of a slowdown there. Other weekend losers, the Nets, obviously. Hell of a time to lose a couple on the road, Brooklyn. Especially one of the Hawks, the team you're battling for seeding, and you waste a career-high 55 from Kevin Durant. But it's the same thing the Nets have been on all year, right? Like, they're streaky on offense, and they're fucking atrocious on defense, really. They really are. And Kyrie, now that he's not a part-time employee, he's fallen back to earth, and everyone else just seems a little bit fucking gassed, don't they? And Kevin Durant's just a fucking freak of nature. But yeah, KD's a weekend loser. Drops 55 and you lose. Just walk into that fucking locker room, start slapping heads, going, oi, how much effort it takes to hit fucking, like, score 55 points? Jesus! Slap! Kessler Edwards, come here, bang! Cam Thomas, oh, bang, bang, bang! There you go. But yeah, big weekend losers there, the Nets, because they slip all the way to the 10 seed with that loss. Tough scenes, tough scenes. The Cavs lost a tough one to the Sixers and the refs, and then had a whinge about it. But that feels like the more weekend losery part. Coach JB Bickerstaff was out there going, yeah, man, the refs fucked us. It's like, look, it's cool to think you got a job, but having to say it and have a whinge, I don't know, man. Bit of a weekend loser vibe. But Cleveland, look, I think they've just dealt with so many injuries.
Cleveland!
That it's really tough right now, but I mean, they still got a big, big win over the Knicks, but yeah, Cavs right now hanging out pretty tough in the 7th spot, and it's going to be very hard for them to climb. Like, they're 2.5 games back of the Raps, so Feels like they might be stuck in the play-in tournament in the seven. Kings, Sacramento. That's a long time since they've made the playoffs because they got officially eliminated today with their loss. And I believe that is now 16 years. And that is, just think about that, bit of context. Like there's a kid, 16th consecutive year, that's a new record that they've set for the NBA of missing the playoffs. There's a kid who could be born and could be now driving and he's never seen the Kings, make the playoffs. Just make the playoffs in 16 years. What the fuck were you doing 16 years ago? I don't remember. Probably drinking too much, which is why I can't remember. But it's so long ago, I'm probably forgiven for forgetting because it's so fucking long ago. Unbelievable. Anyway, great job, Kings. You're just running a great franchise over there. Utah. This is the obvious one. Oh, boy. Well, there's two obvious ones this weekend, weren't there? Maybe three if you want to count the Nets. But still, 16-point lead blown in less than 3 minutes. The Jazz just outdoing themselves this year and just shitting the bed in a cacophonous fashion. Just like, oh, it's got everywhere. Paint the walls brown. And they just keep doing it. Like, it's a meltdown every time in absolute epic fucking fashion. And I don't know what it is. It makes so little sense to me as well, right? They've paid through the nose to have, like, vets like Mike Conley and Bojan around Rudy and Donnie. Like, Rudy Gobert, Zastava, Dauer, and Donnie Mitchell. They're your two franchise centerpieces. And they still flat out fucking turtle in big moments. And it feels like this is just, if they go out in the first round, like one of them's going to have to go, right? They're just going to. They have to change shit up because you just can't keep doing the same fucking thing expecting a different result. Just tough, Yaz. Just tough. Because I'll tell you what, Utah Twitter, when the Jazz blow a lead like that again, it is just absolute sicko territory. You watch it and you're like, oh, God. I don't want to keep looking, but it's like a car crash and bang, off you go. Brutal. So Utah, big weekend losers there. Because obviously, not just for the simple like mental idea of like they can't hold a lead, you're always in it. But also because they're all the way now down in sixth and a half game back of the Nuggets and only 1.5 games up on the Wolves. I'm just saying, Utah, you're not doing yourself any fucking favors. Okay, see you weekend losers. Oh, Jimmy, but they're losing on purpose. Yeah. I mean, but the Pistons have now caught them. So now they're, but the thing is, I mean, that's tied basically for the third worst record. Essentially, they've both got 23 wins. The Pistons smartly have one extra loss. Okay, see, they let Poku just go out and get a triple-double and steal a win. What are you doing, Poku? Like, Sam Presti's got to serve his choice now, letting Poku play and develop some more or sitting him so he doesn't fucking randomly win them any more games. What am I going to do with this Slim Reaper? And finally, of course,
the Lakers stink!
Yep. Losing to the Pelicans was just about all she wrote, and then LeBron skipping out on the Nuggets game to protect his scoring title was nail meat coffin vibes, right? And now two games back of the Spurs, two games back of the 10 seed, your Los Angeles Lakers. They have a worse record than the Thunder since the All-Star break. The Thunder have been tanking that entire time. They sat all their good players. But they are toast. Pack her up, boys. The Lakers. The best part is, we're going to talk about this in YNRs, but this is great because I don't want to fucking talk about this horrible team anymore. You know? This is going to be fantastic. Just think of all the other airspace without LeBron. It's going to be incredible. Speaking of which, LeBron. This is officially the worst team in LeBron James' career. 16 losses below 500. They've lost 6 on the trot. They're 31-47. 31-47. Unbelievable. I'm just saying, is it going to be crazy when the LeBron trade rumors pop up over the week of the over the offseason? I don't think so. I don't think so. Would he be smart to get the fuck out of Dodge? Yeah, I think he would. Those Cleveland rumors, just saying. Good job, Cleveland.
Cleveland!
All right, let's do an NBA Australia approved performance of the weekend.
That's kind of nice. guy's annoying.
Oh, we got a bunch of them. Luka Doncic against the Bucks was fucking incredible. 32, 8, and 15 assists and 3 steals. The cool part was the games with folks with 30 points and 15 assists in a game so far this season. Luka's got 3. The rest of the NBA has 3. That is pretty bloody good. Embiid over the weekend. So this is it. This is it. This is the MVP talk. Today, Embiid goes for 44-17 with 5 blocks. Absolute chaos. He shot 12 of 26 from the floor, 17 of 20 on his free throws, and just absolutely demolisherated the free throw line because he got there, 20 times? He went 17 of 20. Absolutely unreal. He got the big win over the Cavs. And then that's him backing up a 29-14-6 assist game in only 31 minutes against Charlotte. So, not bloody bad, bro. Nikola Jokic, the same shit against the Lakers today. 38-18-6. What is that stat line? 3 steals, 2 blocks in only 33 minutes. He had 2 turnovers in the second half. He shot 15-22. Thing is, against the Wolves, he had 38-19-8. What? That's incredible. He weirdly missed all 5 threes he took on the weekend, but otherwise, unbelievable. Back-to-back 38-point games. 18 rebounds, 19 rebounds, 6 assists, 8 assists. Jesus, Joker. Klay versus the Jazz was incredible. 36 lit him up. When he hit those 2 threes late, Jesus, the place was going to erupt. And Lord Bobby Covington, obviously, was career-high 43 points, 8 rebounds, shot 11 of 18 on his threes. Absolutely unconscious. But then, what a game by Kevin Durant. Look, I hate giving an approved performance of the night to someone who loses the game, but 55 on 19 of 28 shooting, 8 of 10 from 3, 9 of 11 free throws, 7 rebounds and 3 assists. That is just some insane shit. And you can't give him the loss because that was fucking incredible. Like, he did everything. He missed a big 3 late, but Jesus, what a game. Kevin Durant, a career-high 55. You got to tip your hat to that, don't you? But what an awesome time to be an NBA fan. I'm just saying. Spud of the night.
Spud, 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 it is spud of the night.
Spud of the night. It's also a great time to be an NBA fan because we have spuds aplenty. It's like the opposite of the potato famine. CJ Ellaby, he's got great hair, can't hit a shot. 0 of 8 in game 1 against the Spurs, 0 of 4 from downtown. Absolutely brutal, bro. Absolutely brutal. How'd he go in game 2, you ask? Well, 3-6. He had 8 points. So, but seriously, 0 of 8 is pretty crazy. Kobe White, 0 of 9 from the floor, 0 of 7 from downtown against the Miami Heaters. That was pretty brutal. Hey, Jimmy, why did Chicago lose to Miami? Well, probably because Kobe went 0 of 9, but not just all of him. But that team is just bit wobbly at the moment. They just can't beat anybody good. Chicago probably should be on the weekend losers thing, but they only play it once, so you don't want to shit on them too bad. Middy! Chris Middleton, 3 of 14 today against the Mavs, 2 of 10 shooting for Buddy Hield against Boston. Bones Highland also went 3 of 14 against Minnesota for the Denver Nuggets. Davion Mitchell went 3 of 13 against the Clippers today, and 4 of 18 for RJ Barrett against Cleveland for the Knicks. You're like, oh, 4 of 18, it's not Billy, he's hit 4 shots. He missed 14 shots. That is a lot of missed shots. Jamorco Pickett. Did I just make that name up? No, I did not just make that name up. Jamorco Pickett. I'm just going to keep saying his name because it's just fucking gnarly. Jamorco. He was out there going, oh, man, so what's going on with, like, my shot man? And I'll tell you what, Jamorco Pickett, he went 4 of 13, and then you're like, oh, geez, that's a bit rough, isn't it? Jamorco, what are you doing? They were all threes. So ended up with 13 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, and 3 blocks. I'm like, holy shit, Jamorco, you're going out there crushing it. Good on you, mate. I love it. Love me some Jamorco Pickett in that big win over OKC. And what else we got? Oh, yeah. The Nets. Just the Nets. Patty Thrills, Patty Mills. It breaks my heart every time he's on Spud of the Night. He's hit it a couple of times this year. 0 of 7 from the floor for Patty. 0 of 5 from downtown. Everybody else not named KD on that team, though, combined to go 23 of 71. and 9 of 27 from downtown. Kyrie was horrible. He missed 20 shots. Talk about missing 14 shots. Kyrie missed 20. He was 12 of 32 against the Hawks, 7 of 14 from 3. But so you think about that, outside the big two, and Kyrie missing 20 of those fucking shots. Absolutely bloody crazy. They were 11 of 39 as a team and 2 of 13 from downtown. That's how you lose a game, with nobody else stepping up. But of course, a couple of folks rode to the rescue. Saben Lee for Detroit and Spindles Ingram against the Clippers today. What did they shoot, Jimmy? Yeah, 311. Right. Ooh, old mate, no mates.
Old mate, no
mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Old mate, no
mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Parlez-vous français? How you say, I have no France in French? Rudy Gobert, the stifled tower, is basically being stifled by his own teammates, it would seem. But specifically, Donny Mitchell. So it came out today, a couple of, you know, Jazz fans talking about Donny Mitchell and his antipathy towards Rudy Gobert. One of the best ones I saw, the Jingling Joe Ingles has passed the ball to Rudy 174 times this season. Donny has passed it 151 times. Not 151 assists. He's literally passed the ball to Rudy Gobert 151 times. Joey Ingles tore his fucking knee apart 2 months ago. And he's still done it 23 more times than Donny Mitchell has. Like, Trae Young has 152 assists. Assists to Clint Capella this year. Donny Mitchell's got 151 passes to Rudy Gobert. He got two passes the other day against... He's averaging literally two passes a game to a giant fucking 7'4" Frenchman center. That is absolute chaos. Donny fucking... hates Rudy Gobert. That is definitely some old mate, no mates vibes there. And you know that Rudy is going to be kicked to the curb much quicker than Donny Mitchell, I'd say, if you're looking around the league and this offseason. But there was also a great moment, like Rudy, just poor fucking Rudy, just being absolutely torturated by the Jazz fans, for some of his defensive stuff. And then my favorite one, though, was he got just dunked on for looking like a surly 7'4" fucking French toddler, and for sort of cracking the sad and sort of stopping his foot and going, "Pum, I don't like that," because he sort of got taken down by Clay into the paint. Clay curled back out, got half a sort of pick, and Rudy was still contesting. It's like Rudy's like, "Who the fuck is Switch? What are you doing?" But anyway, he then got punked after he did this. Rudy did. He sort of stopped his foot, having a bit of a tanty. A 6'2" sulky toddler who broke into his dad's shaving cream and stuck some clumps of hair to his face and called it a beard, Steph Curry, then imitated that and took the piss out of Rudy Gobert. Whew, that is definitely some old mate, no mates. Pantsing of the night! Oh, can this just be the Lakers? Because I'm pretty sure that... most of the Lakers' commentary over the weekend has been just one continuous pantsing. It very much feels like it, doesn't it? Because I've enjoyed it. I'm not going to lie. I've enjoyed it immensely. But at the same time, there was a great one as well, a bit of a pantsing where Poku gave CP3 a bit of his own treatment and gave him the old rip through on the perimeter. And Chris Paul's like, "I can't believe he fucking did that to me." And Poku's like, "I can't believe I did it to him either." So CP3 got pantsed by Poku. I love that. But the Lakers getting absolutely hounded and pantsed by first the Pelicans and then the Nuggets today. I got to say, it's like, "Oh, well, these are two must-win games." Well, you didn't must-win them, did you? In fact, they were must-lose, according to your effort. Better than Lonzo Ball.
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, "I made it to the pros. Now I can be average." We're coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody. Had some great Better Than Lonzo Balls in the weekend. Jalen Green and Josh Christopher became the first pair of rookies in NBA history with 30 points in the same game. Jalen had his fourth straight 30-point game. He dropped 31 on 12 of 18 shooting. Jesus, no defense there. That's right. 4 of 8 from 3. And his high school teammate, Josh Christopher, also on the Rockets, 30 points on 11-14 shooting, 3-3 from 3. 3-5 from 3, rather. 3-3. So that's awesome. Seriously, Jalen Green, 4 straight 30-point games. He's awesome. The first person, or the last person to do that was AI back in 1997. That is unbelievable. Killian Hayes, I mentioned that. He had a great game against OKC. This is the thing. You play OKC, you play Sacramento, you're going to be dropping bombs. 26-7-8, Killian Hayes. I loved it. 12-25 from the floor, 2-8 from 3. He had 5 steals and 2 blocks. What a legend. And of course, Poku! Pokuševski, triple-double. He's like the second coming of Kevin Durant mixed with Mason Plumlee. The Slim Reaper. 17 points, 10 rebounds, 12 assists. He shot 7 of 14 from the floor, 3 of 5 from downtown, and punk Chris Paul. Today, they're all better than Lonzo Ball. And finally, Dickhead of the Weekend.
Dickhead of the Week!
And Anthony Davis, what could we have been if I was healthy all year? LeBron, Kendrick Nunn. You think about those things. When we put this team together, we looked really good on paper, but we haven't had a chance to reach that potential with guys being in and out of the lineup. Anthony Davis is a dickhead.
Oh, no, man. We had to deal with lots of injuries and shit, bro. You lost to the Nuggets, who don't have their 2 next best players.
You fucking suck.
Jesus, oh no, man, we had injuries all year, bro. Oh, fuck off with the fucking excuses.
You had a shit team, it all fell apart. Rusty fucking hates you. You guys hate Rusty, and everybody else thinks this is fucking good. Right, let's do some YNRs right after this.
This is Cam Glidden.
This is Anthony Drimmick.
This is Mitch McCarron.
This is Jason Kadee.
This is Daryl McDonald.
Hey guys, this is Hugh Greenwood.
Yo, what's going on? This is Ellie.
This is Mark Worthington, or commonly known as Wurtho, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And 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 you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's do some YNRs. Brought to you by the NBA Australia Shop. That's right, go get your merch, get your merch. Listen to the man.
Steve-o.
Get your merch, get your merch.
Wear it.
Get your merch, get your merch. Get your merch, get your merch.
You got to go get your merch. Go get it at NBAAustralia.com/shop. Get a hoodie, get a t-shirt. And, you know, that'll be really fun, won't it? Yeah, I reckon it will be. Go check it out. You can click on all the links through the socials, etc. as well. Go check out the new NBA Australia Shop. It's awesome. Click, yeah, go through the Facey or the Twitter or the IG as well. Off you go. It's great. I'll get it out to you real quick. Right, let's do some yeah nahs. We take a bunch of NBA storylines, decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. These are all listener ones as well today. Luke Fragona sent through one late on Friday, which is great. And I really like this one. So I know I'm probably too late to get on today, and I wouldn't be surprised if someone else asked this before. But yeah, nah. Will Giannis be in the GOAT conversation before his playing days are over? Barring some unforeseen issues with his health, of course. And he went on to say, you know, I'd have thought, how many more crazy seasons does he have to have before we start talking about him like we do the other GOATs? Yeah, nah. Yeah, I think this is one of those things where Giannis is 27. He's got a finals MVP. He's got a championship. He's already got 2 MVPs. If he rips off another awesome week and a half, he can end up with 3 MVPs already. He's 27. They could win the title this year. They look fucking incredible. So what else would he have to do? I mean, in terms of the GOAT vibes, like Giannis, you've seen him work on his free throws. It's incredible. His work ethic is fucking like second to none. I love it. Absolutely love it. If he starts knocking in threes as well at even a better clip, I mean, shit, like, it's going to be one of those things where if he stays healthy and sort of just keeps playing at this level for, like, I don't know, with the magic of medical science today, how long can he play? I don't know. But, yeah, unforeseen health issues, as Luke said. Like, I mean, he's shooting 30% from three this season. And you're like, that's pretty cool. It does feel like he could rack up like another, if he won like another 1 or 2 MVPs, another couple of titles, who the fucking knows? Like, yeah, that's how he gets into the GOAT conversation, right? And if he plays as long as LeBron has, like, holy crap. He does feel like, in terms of the GOATs though, because he's basically a center who can shoot some threes. I think Luke actually did mention it. He feels like a bit Kareem-y. And it's like, yeah, Kareem is kind of like the Giannis sort of comparison, right? Where it's just like insane numbers, titles, MVPs. But I think if Giannis sort of keeps cranking along at this place and plays as long as Kareem did, shit, we might be thinking of him as better, which is chaos to think about. I mean, shit. Just imagine if he had been like, you know, in the system earlier or whatever, because those first couple of seasons is pretty slow. I'd say him that much, but goddamn, Giannis could be in the GOAT conversation before his playing days are over. Yeah, easy. All right, we've got a bunch from Jazz Oz. The Sixers are not only tanking to play the Bulls in the first round, but also to avoid getting knocked out in the first round by a play-in team. Yeah, nah. Oh, this is such a good one. I love it. Because it's 100% the Sixers going, yeah, we don't want to be a 1 or 2 seed because that way we're going to play the 7 or 8 and Doc would definitely get fired if we lose that first round. And also, we know we can kick the fuck out of the Bulls, so we're happy with 4. The problem for them is that if they then get stuck with the Raptors, I'd be a little bit fucking worried if I was the Sixers. But I mean, in terms of like the way that they've played some of those other teams, like they lost to the Raptors last time they played. They have kicked the shit out of the Bulls pretty handily. And yeah, it's just one of those ones you go Raptors, Sixers. I just wouldn't want to even test the karma gods if I was the Sixers again. It's like just fucking shades of Kawhi. Would be all over that. I want no fucking bar of it. 100%. You know? But I think the Sixers and the Raptors also still, yeah, they've still got like a game to play as well. So it's going to be a bit chaos. But yeah, I think that's a good idea if I'm the Sixers. I'd definitely be trying to tank and make sure that I land against the Bulls. What else we got? The potential matchups in the first round are fucking arousing, says Jez. Suns versus Clips with playoff payback. Grizz Wolves could be the most exciting depending on which Wolves turn up. Bucks Hawks rematch is intriguing, especially if the Hawks somehow pull it all together. Whoever ends up playing the Nets could be a corker of a series. I'd personally love a Celtics-Raptors, which would be amazing. Yeah, nah, yeah. I think we're set for one of the single greatest playoff sets you'll ever see. Because when it's this tight, sort of in the creamy middle of both conferences, and you've got a couple of really good ones, obviously, at the top of the East, but a couple of sneaky sleepers as well in the East, right? Like, it'd be really cool if the Cavs were, like, full strength as well and off we'd go. But, like, the Hawks were in the Eastern Conference Finals last year. The Nets are the fucking Nets. Like, that's great. And then in the West, who knows how that's going to shake out. But there's really fun teams everywhere. I'm absolutely loving it. So, yeah, Jazz nailed that one. So, this could be one of the most fun playoffs we'll ever see. Lakers missing the play-in is a win for all of us non-Lakers fans, so we don't have to hear all the dribble about them from the media. Yes, 100%. Could you imagine just, like, it'd be another 2 weeks of, oh, well, if LeBron and Anthony Davis, they could turn it around and win, but they've got that championship medal. They're trying to check. This team is shit. The team fucking sucks. I don't want to hear about it. Jesus. Anyway. Jez nailed that one. So if the Pelicans win a play-in game and the Lakers don't even make it, the asterisk title aside, the Pelicans have fared better without AD than the Lakers have with him. Yeah, nah. Ooh, nah. Nah, you can't just toss away a fucking championship, though. Because what? They've sort of turned that into spindles. They moved off Lonzo for no real fucking reason. They've got CJ now. You've still got Zion from your, not at all rigged draft lottery from Adam Silver present for letting AD go to the Lakers. I feel like the Pelicans are more set up for success long-term than the Lakers are. That's fucking for sure. And so I think the biggest thing about this, though, is when we talk about the Lakers versus the Pelicans is they won a title. They win the Mickey Mouse Disney title where Anthony Davis shoots like fucking crazy from three in the bubble. They look awesome. But I think the biggest problem for the Lakers is this. It's not the Anthony Davis they thought they were getting. They got the injury prone, always sort of hurt. Every time he crumples to the floor, you're a fucking terrified Anthony Davis, which is the one that, if you've watched him, you'd see all the time. He had like 2 years where he was all right, for the Pelicans. Absolutely crush it. He's 28-12. Cool. Couple of blocks, off you go. And then these last couple of years with the Lakers, it's just not been anywhere near close because he's been injured, in and out. They win the title, and he's like just knocking in threes like it ain't no thing. But the problem is, like, his three-point shooting is just fucking dropped off a cliff anyway now, right? So, I don't know, man. Like, I would have always thought that the shooting for Anthony Davis would translate a little bit more as he got a bit older, but it just, it's been gross. Absolutely gross. So I think it might end up being one of those weird ones where you go, the Pelicans might have moved off Anthony Davis at the exact right time. And the Lakers probably gave up too much to get Anthony Davis, even though it felt like they should have given up that at the time. But pretty crazy. I loved it, though. That's a really, really good debate. I reckon we'll have to... You have to, like, he's 28, so you need, like, a couple more years of Anthony Davis to really sort of answer that one, but, and they've won a title with him, so I think they're, like, I'm going to have to say nah, because I can't just, like, discount the fact they won the title. Brad McKeegan, he asks, yeah, nah, Renee is already sick of having Joe at home and needs to get out, yeah, nah, yeah. So Renee's, like, going back to playing netball. Love that. So that got announced, and I'm excited. That's fucking great, so... And it's 100% true that she's just gone, all right, fucking, I'm, this joke is here and already, and I'm just fucking sick of him being home all the time. I'm going to go back to nipple. And that's exactly what she's done. So it's really cool. Yeah, why not? That's really cool. She's going to go, what, is the Casey Demons or whatever it was? Yeah. Sook, what have we got? The unpopular opinion of the day. This is actually another year now that we got sent.
Now look at me, please.
This is a good one. Matty Owers. Prayers up to Matty Owers. Lost in the fantasy finals. Lost in fantasy today, and he got the Coco tested positive. He did send through a great one. Cavs commentators are the best. Yeah, nah. They're so over the top. It's hilarious. It's the Cavs. They've grown on me. You know, they really have. Because they're sort of out there. They get really excited about their team. Austin Carr is like, he's hilarious. He's been doing it for so long that you can't sort of like shit on him. And it's just, they are really, really attached to that team as well. And they very clearly love it, which I think is really cool. So they used to annoy me more than they have this year, you know? And Austin Carr, like when he fucking loses his mind, he's... And it's like, yes, get him, Austin. I don't know if they're the best, though. I think the best for me is always going to be the Nets. When you got the combination of Iron Eagle, Sarah Kustok, Richard Jefferson, and fuck, what's his name? The other guy. But their Yes Network stuff for the Nets is always really good. Ryan Rucco, that's the other one. And the Knicks, obviously, with Mike Breen and Clyde, just untouchable. What I've enjoyed this year, though, is like some of the Pelican stuff has been really good. Some of the Bull, I don't know if I've really come around on Stacey King, but like the Bulls stuff is pretty fun. The Raptors, I've even enjoyed that a bit more. God, gotta get him! And Leo just, you know, it's really fun. Kevin Calabro being back in Portland has been, it was really good, obviously, the first half of the season before they just got shit and you just didn't want to watch them. But he's always just like a font of knowledge, and obviously I love him from my Sonics days anyway. But I'll tell you what, the Pelicans have been sneaky pretty good to watch. And, of course, you've got the Hornets guy, Bridges! And, like, losing his fucking mind all the time. He just, it's a bit tough. Because he's still learning how to, Terry! Etc. It's like, Eric Collins is good, but it's still just, like, the balance isn't quite there. Because, like, he has, like, a couple of crazy moments because Miles Bridges is fucking incredible. Terry Rose is able to do cool shit. But then he fucking loses his mind about pretty run-of-the-mill, cool kind of stuff. And you're like, all right, you need to chill that. He also gets really down enduring, like, losses and stuff. So, but I think it's a really good question from Matty Owens about the commentators because I think one thing that teams have started thinking a little bit more about is, like, obviously their local broadcasts. Because League Pass has become such a big thing. Everybody's sort of watching everybody. And I don't know about you, but I find myself like, you know, gravitating towards better commentary teams because fucking hell, I'll tell you what, some of the worst ones are literally like where they go for really bullshit, generic-y kind of crap and give you not much insight on the actual game itself or sort of context around the team. And I'd usually put Sacramento on here as well because they've got Mark Jones and he's fucking incredible. But I was like listening to the Kings one today and I'm like, oh yeah, Mark Jones is off doing college basketball. And their filling guy's like, oh God, yeah, this is, maybe it all just sort of hinges on Mark Jones. Like the Lakers, the Clippers, there's something just not gripping about either of their commentary teams. The Suns are kind of all right. The Nuggets are all right. The Grizzlies are pretty fun. Speaking of commentary teams that love their young teams, but yeah, man. So I don't know. Hit us up with the ones that you love because I'm curious. But I think for me, still the Nets and the Knicks that just kick my ass. The Celtics are always fun. Mike Gorman and Scal have been really fun this year as well. Scal, though, they're pretty bad. Like, so he's obviously, you know, crazy Celtics homer, but I do enjoy that, you know, when he's calling a foul and realizes he's wrong, he points it out. But anyway, there's some really good ones out there. What do you reckon? And lastly, quick one, Outback Takeout. It's Monday at Outback. And you know what that means? Oh, yeah, well, the squid and I got up this morning, grabbed our cricket bats, figured out we better get today's special sorted. So as soon as we heard that, bang! So that's right. Kookaburra wings, only at Outback. It's a great Aussie-tizer. Goes great with today's flame grill take, which is, this is not actually a flame grill take anymore. LeBron is very clearly actually just ducking tough teams now to make sure he wins the scoring title. Only at Outback. Oh, it's a must-win game against the Lakers. Oh, but I don't want to play, man. Aaron Air Gordon might shut me down, and I might not win the scoring title. Fucking what? It's a bit weird. It's getting weird.
It's getting very weird.
Let's see how many more games he plays the rest of the regular season. Just saying. All right, we're back in a second with the Australian Player Watch.
Right after this.
This is Nick Kay, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, Australian Player Watch. Big one for the Aussies on the weekend. Not a great one for Paddy Thrills. As I mentioned, 0 of 7 from the floor against the Hawks, 0 of 5 from downtown. He had 1 rebound, 1 assist, 4 fouls, and 2 turnovers. Yikes. It was a brutal game for most of the Nets, Paddy included. So tough scenes. Obviously, Benny Simmons, we gave you the update there. He wants his $20 million back from Philly. I, too, would like $20 million from the Philadelphia 76ers for not playing for the Philadelphia 76ers. Please. Thank you. Aussie Matty T playing for those self-same Philadelphia 76ers in that win over Charlotte. He was awesome. 12 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 steals. He went 2 of 4 on 3s and 5 of 7 from the floor. Great game from Aussie Matty T. And the win over Cleveland today are 4 points, 2 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 blocks and 2 steals. He is a fucking weapon on D, including the game sealing steal. More like game stealing seal. More. 2 of 4 from the floor. Oh, fuck it up. Game stealing seal. Watch out. Exciting times. That should be another recurring character. But great weekend for Aussie Matty T. Locked in. 2 big wins as well. Josh Green in the loss to Washington. He had 4 points and a rebound. 2 of 5 shooting. 0 of 2 on downtown triples. And in the win over Milwaukee, he had 3 points and a rebound today. 1 of 2 from the floor. 1 of 2 of which was a 3. Jock Landale. Rock'em, sock'em, block'em, Jock'em Landale. Big cock Jock. 2 big games against Portland. Pop keeps fucking him around. 14 minutes in the first game. All he did was come out, kick some ass, take some names. 10 points. 3 rebounds and a block. Shot 3 of 3 from the floor. 2 of 2 on triples and 2 of 2 at the line. The perfect bloody game, Pop. So what happens next game? 6 minutes. 2 points, 3 rebounds, 1 of 1 from the floor. Pop just hates Aussies. Right, let's do Andrew Gay's Grand Mumba Award for Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence. It's the first hand you won the Andrew Gay's Grand Mumba Award for Outstanding clap it up. Because these are your MVP candidates. And it is fucking chaos. So, Giannis Embiid and Joker over the last 15 games. Last 15 games. Giannis is at 33-12-5. Embiid, 33-13-4. Joker, 30.5 points, 13 rebounds, and 8 assists. That is fucked. Holy crap. Seriously, you try and split them. This is the simple fact is the MVP is probably going to come down to like the last like 3 or 4 games, and if one of these dudes can just drop like a signature game on a big TV game, like it might win them the MVP, which is crazy to think about because obviously it's a year-long fucking award, but they've all been this good all fucking year and they're still really good. Like, it did very much like feel like Embiid was sort of dropping down into, like, what, 1A, 1B, 1C, 1C territory for Embiid. Just goes out and drops 44. I mean, it was the Cavs. They don't really have anyone playing center, but goddamn, the names are right there. That is outstanding achievement in the field of excellence. If you gave it to any of them, I think we'd all be all right, right? Yeah. What a year, though. But that's probably my favorite part. You know, I'm talking about, like, young talent, talking about rookies that are coming through. We're talking about the old guard of LeBron and CP3. Dudes like that still hanging around. But then you've got Luka, who's not even in the MVP convo outside of, hey, who's in the 4-5 spot? And you've got Giannis Embiid and Joker just going absolutely hammering tongs. I absolutely love it. This is so much fucking fun. Enjoy it while we can. This is like fucking, everybody complains, oh, it's because it was in the 90s. There are so many more stars and so much more talent in the NBA right now than there was in the 90s. So, fucking, I am loving it. Right, Patty Mills Game Day, Baller Game Day, Twitter check-in. Joey Ingles. Absolute run of awesome, inspiring tweets at the moment because Joey is out there doing some good promotional stuff, essentially with his autism awareness stuff, right? So, Autism Acceptance Month kicks off in February, so he's out there tweeting out some really great stories and really heartwarming, heart-touching kind of stories. So blue heart emoji for a great kid with a great picture there, and there's some great stories. So he retweeted Renee saying, Jacob has autism spectrum disorder. We are a family touched and blessed by autism. I want those on the spectrum to be included, understood, respected, and shown the kindness that we all deserve. That is why this month is special. Hashtag Autism Awareness Month. And there's a picture of Renee and Joe and the kids, and it's fucking awesome. And you're going to absolutely love it. Jordan Maialata was even into it as well, outside of the Link, Lincoln Financial Field over there in Philly. The sun is now shining, and Jordan Maialata landing there as well. Huddle up for autism. Absolutely love that. And it's really, really cool. And he's just retweeting really amazing stories of Ben Jones, my twin boys, both with ASD, and my heroes and make me a better, stronger father and man, as retweeted by Jingles. Love that. So go check it out. Joe is doing great stuff, especially all the way through Autism Awareness Month. Got a feeling we might be going back there time and time again because it's inspiring as fuck. Joe Ingles, you're a legend. Right. Let's do some game previews and some picks for, not tomorrow, because that'd be too easy. We're going to day off tomorrow. There's no games. Let's do it.
Game previews. Game previews.
Thanks, inadvertent Bane.
Not a problem, Jimmy. How's the weekend?
Oh, it's bloody great. Saw my parents. They came down, took the squid to the footy, hung out, drank some beeros. Just had a really good time. Lots and lots and lots of fun. So in terms of the NCAA game tomorrow as well. We'll give a quick tip for that as well. But of the weekend's games, we went, oh geez, 7 of 15 before we went today. We went 1 of 5 on the picks on Sunday. And then today we went 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of 12. So that leaves us at 14, 14 of 27. It's pretty good. We'll take that one. So 14 and 27, that would put us at for the season. Jimmy, you should do this before the show, bro. What do you reckon? Shut up. That'd be way too organized. Rather than doing it on the fly and making it way funnier. 667 correct picks of 1,169. Nice. Picks for the season. Love that. 667 of 1,169. Good stuff. Right, day off tomorrow. So no game tomorrow. We have the NCAA title game. Kansas, UNC, who you got? Well, I actually picked Kansas about a week and a half ago, so I'm sitting pretty all right. So they're four-point favorites. I'm going to pick that and go with Kansas. That's also why today's show is a bit longer, because I'm just like, fuck it. I got no show tomorrow, so we'll just leave it all out there. So give me Kansas. Right, but Wednesday's NBA games. Interesting. We've got 12 NBA games on Wednesday. It's going to be an absolute packed schedule, bro. One, two, I think it's 12 or 11, whatever. Philly, they go to Indy. I'm taking the Sixers minus 12.5. Indy have packed it up. Embiid is going to feast. Give me Philly to smash them. Cleveland are 8.5-point favorites over Orlando. Same vibe. Orlando have really sort of just given up the ghost. They were covering left, right, and center, but over the last week and a half, the tank is really in. They're tanking as hard as they can. I think the Cavs will be desperate to get a big win there, so I think they'll handily take that. Houston go to Brooklyn. 17.5-point favorites of the Nets. I'm taking Houston because they can score. Neither team's going to play D. Bet the over. This is going to be like 138 plays 130, and the Nets will be lucky if they win. So give me the Rockets plus 17.5. Charlotte, they're 5.5-point underdogs against Miami. Miami on a back-to-back. Big game against Toronto in Toronto. Charlotte come down the road and go to Miami into Florida. I'm going to go the Hornets plus 5.5. Miami might rest some more dudes. Miami still kind of need to keep up the pressure at the top, but I think Charlotte might sneak one out here. Atlanta, they go to Toronto. Toronto on a back-to-back. This is a bit of a tough one. With the Raptors, 3.5-point favorites at home against the Hawks coming in, looking to solidify their play-in status. I think the Raptors might just be a little bit too good defensively that for the Hawks, even on a back-to-back, though. That's really hard. I think Toronto might win this, but it's like a point. So give me Atlanta plus 3.5. Tough pick, that one. Milwaukee, 3.5-point favorites against the Bulls. The Bulls can't beat good teams, so Milwaukee are a good team. Ergo, Chicago will not win this game, and Milwaukee will cover the 3.5-point line. Minnesota go to Washington. Oh, no. Washington, sorry, go to Minnesota. They're 10.5-point favorites. The Wolves, I'm taking that in a heartbeat. The Wiz, that is not a good team at the moment. OKC, it's another tank off. Rolling in the tanks. Portland go to OKC. Oh, this always happens. Breaks my heart. It's the old Northwest rivalry, Portland and Seattle. Thunder, 3.5-point favorites against Portland. Thunder, actual favorites in that one? Oh, God. I'll take OKC. That is not great, though. I don't feel good about that one. This is the tanking ones are really hard to pick. Who wants to win it less? Probably Portland. They need to keep that tank up. Yeah. San Antonio. Yeah, Portland can't afford to win any games, basically. San Antonio, they're 6.5-point underdogs in Denver. I think I might have to go Denver in that one. Denver, though, just don't seem to really belt teams. 6.5, they might just eke that one out over San Antonio. Jokic might have a bit of a field day. Yeah, give me the Denver Nuggets minus 6.5. Memphis, they go to Utah. All the Grizzlies do is win, no matter what. Doesn't matter who's playing. They don't give a fuck. 5.5-point underdogs against the Jazz. Give me the Grizz. Fuck it. The Jazz just keep shitting the bed. I'm going the Grizz plus 5.5. New Orleans, they go to Sacramento. They're 7.5-point favorites. You can't trust the Pelicans, but Sacramento suck. I'm taking the Pels. And then I think we've got Lakers, Phoenix. There's no line for this yet because obviously no one's got any clue whether or not LeBron will play 2 days out. So I'm taking Phoenix just as a head-to-head. I think that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. That's 12 games. Yeah, Jesus. It's going to be fun. And yeah, as said, we'll do that on Wednesday because we'll take tomorrow off. Sick. Just watch some NCAA. Do a bit of NCAA Australia? What do you reckon? Nah, fuck that. But go Kansas. Right, we're back on Wednesday. In the meantime, make sure you're following NBA Australia on Twitter, Facey IGs, we're all over the socials. Check it, NFL Australia with myself and Gaz. World Wrestling Australia with Adam. Whoa, WrestleMania just happened. Reckon Adam would have loved that. Go check it out on YouTube. And follow FWCIE on Twitter. Get around NBAAustralia.com/shop. Get your merch, Chuck us a rating and review on your podcast app. Come on, help us out, please. Please, I don't ask for much. Manscaped.com. Use the code Australia. Get 20% off and free shipping. Knowable. Download the Knowable app. Bang in the code Australia. Get 20% off that app too. Big thanks go to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Check out their other new band, House Hats. They're really good. Also, Joshua De Laurentiis, Fascinator, Gold Mines, Ramshackle, Army, Iowa, Sex, Jedi, Green, 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 and Dozers. Thanks to all those bands for the tunes behind everything in this show. Love that. Smash them all on Bandcamp, Triple J on Earth, Facey, Apple Music, however you follow your bands, listen to your bands, do so. Remember, NBA Australia, support Australian bands. Right, we're going to finish off today's show with a brand new deli review of The Bubble, the Netflix movie The Bubble, and we will catch you on Wednesday. Jimmy's going to have a day off. How good is this? All right, this is NBA Australia saying, look after yourselves, would you? And lederhosen. Oi, 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 how the fuck are you? It's your old mate Deli over here to swing a boy again for another pop culture review, eh? Yeah, because it's my little mate Josh Giddy, man. Like, I don't know, he's got, like, through the series, he gets injured. He's a bit hopped up on the old pain pills, maybe. I don't know what's going on with him, but he's just like, oh, Deli, can you fill in for me again, bro? And I'm like, yeah, nah, man, no worries, eh? I've got not much to do, just, you know, leading fucking Melbourne United to the fucking NBL title. Jeez! That's all right. More than happy to help out, eh? So this week, this one was from the missus. She's like, oh, there's some new Netflix movie, eh? And I'm like, fucking sick, just put it on. Just put it on, I'll have these beers. There's a squid in bed, fucking rad, let's watch it. And we watched it, and it was funny as fuck. It's called The Bubble, and it's all about pandemic shit. And we're like making a movie, and it's like directed by that Judd Apatow bloke who did, like, I don't know, Knocked Up, The 40-Year-Old Virgin, Super Bad, all that good shit. And then he just decided to make a lot of really long movies and shit all the time. But anyway, this one's alright. It's got like the bloke from Key and Peele in it, the chick from Euphoria, Mando, the bloke from The Mandalorian, that British bloke that's been in a million things and shit. A bunch of real funny fucks. I'll tell you that much. It was fucking funny, yeah. So like they're all stuck in like this hotel trying to make a movie in a pandemic. So it's called The Bubble. Like The Bubbles, you know? All these bubbles and shit. Just like our bubble that we had in the NBA. All the bubbles we had in the NBL and shit. So, yeah, it's funny as hell, though. It's like they're making this movie, like Cliff Beast 6 or some shit. I can't remember the name. But it's like the sixth fucking movie in some big, you know, Hollywood blockbuster thing. And it is funny as fuck, mate. Like no spoilers and nothing. Like, just, it rolls out and you never know what's going to happen next and how much you might fucking laugh. Because it's just fucking funny as. So, some of us just sit, like me and the missus both had a bit of a laugh. I had about 80 beers, but it was still fucking funny. So, yeah, really delves into the horrors of being alone and what connection really means, you know, like how like fucked up actors and shit are in the head because they're all fucked. So, look, The Bubble's sick. I really enjoyed it. So let's give it about 18 out of 10 deli ones. Mate, it's fucking funny as. Like that weird, like, other bloke who's like one of the producers, he's fucking mental as. He's so weird looking. I loved it. So, yeah, go check it out. So, go watch The Bubble over on Netflix, hey? So, right, that's all we got time for this week. I might pop in next week, have another deli review. Till then, later, fuckers. Deli out.